We want to holler, go away. I need more peace and hope and love. Where do I find it in this crazy old world? I need strategies, strategies for the radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for the radio. Every time I listen, Lauren and David share strategies for living, and it makes me aware. I got strategies for living radio.
Oh, you know we need them. Yeah, we do. We need those strategies. Those strategies for living.
That's right.
So are you ready? You ready for your daily dose of radio rehab?
Yeah, you know, I'm real ready today.
I figured you would be.
Yeah.
You and I kind of argued about today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, hey, folks, welcome. Welcome to the Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is the one I argue with. She is Lauren Leon McMillan, psychotherapist extraordinaire, PLPC. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, you know, how often do, you know, we do children's books on strategies?
Actually, not too often.
No, yeah. We don't. And you know, anytime it comes up, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, okay, no, this is a children's book. And yet,
come on, there's some.
Well, that's what, yeah, you won the argument. I mean, you know, because we had the chance to interview Kelly Corrigan, who has been called the voice of her generation mm-hmm. by the Oprah magazine. And right. she's been called the poet laureate of the ordinary mm-hmm. by Huffington Post. So, yeah. I mean, there's a lot. She's got a book out. And you know, it is a kid's book. It's for ages 4 to 8. And it's called Marianne the Maker. Mm-hmm. And it was actually written by Kelly along with Claire Corrigan Lichty, her daughter.
That's right.
And I tell you, I know it's in the kids section.
But listen, we can't underestimate the things just because they're in the kids section.
I think you're right.
You know, just over my lifetime, I've seen the evolution of, you know, at first, kids' books were tailored to be just kind of goofy and silly and engaging, and maybe
not so anymore.
Maybe some educational in there, but now they're really enriched,
yeah.
And this is one of those enriched children's books that we can all really learn something
Could
from.
Not agree more. So we are going to talk. We're going to talk to Kelly Corrigan today. She's our life strategist.
All right,
and she is the co-author of Marianne the Maker. And I can't wait because she talks about a lot of what we talk about, mm-hmm. creativity.
Exactly.
Folks, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us here on Strategies. And we appreciate our sponsors who make it all possible. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing.
Roof.
And Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center. And Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage. And some pretty good muffies, too. Come back with us. We're going to meet Kelly Corrigan. And we're also going to meet Marianne the Maker right here on Strategies. Strategies for Living. Welcome in to Strategies for Living Radio. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Let's welcome into the program now Kelly Corrigan. As I mentioned before, she's been called the voice of her generation by the Oprah Magazine and the Poet Laureate of the Ordinary by the Huffington Post. She's the author of the New York Times bestsellers Tell Me More, The Middle Place, Lift, and Glitter and Glue. Now, between all of those books, I don't know how she has time, but she hosts a podcast, Kelly Corrigan Wonders, featuring intimate conversations with high IQ, EQ types about well-being, purpose, and impact. And Marianne the Maker is a collaboration with her daughter, Claire. It's her second book for children. And she also managed to write Hello World all by herself. Kelly Corrigan, welcome to Strategies for Living.
Just welcome.
Hi guys. How are you?
Glad to have you.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. It's interesting. The title of your first kids' book. We have a historic radio station in Shreveport, Louisiana, where we are. Called KWKH. They're in the group of stations that we're not on KWKH, but they're in the group of stations that we're on. It's one of the historic, radio broadcasters. And the guy that, started KWKH was a guy by the name, it's KWKH, W.K. Henderson. Mm-hmm. And he began his broadcast day every day with "Hello World," doggone you!
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, back in the day, when you would walk into the radio station, they had this massive globe, to honor their founder, and this massive globe when you walked in said "Hello World," doggone you.
That's so terrific. My dad used to start the day by looking out the window. Mm-hmm. And saying, "Hello, world." And they say, "Hello, Georgie." Like he'd pretend the world was talking back to him. And then he'd say, "I'm coming out there to get you, world." And then the world would say, "I'm waiting for you, Georgie."
I love it.
What a great early
teaching. "Hello, world" was really about asking questions and recognizing that of all the things that will happen to you, the most interesting will be the people you meet. Initially, I wanted to call the book "Oh, the People You Will Know," direct response to "Oh, the Places You Will Go," because I felt like, as much as I love that book, I think actually what's much more meaningful in life is the people, not the places.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Definitely.
Yeah. So you've done a lot. You do a lot, Kelly. Tell us how Marianne the Maker, I'm going to hold it up here to the radio so everybody can see it. Like I said, Lauren won the argument, so here we are.
Yeah, thanks, Lauren. Thanks, of course, for sticking up for illustrated books. Books that have a meaning and a purpose that's worth sharing.
Absolutely.
I like the idea that it's enriched. Yeah. I love that word.
Yeah. Well, and I have a confession. So, I have a confession to make. I do, when I go to Barnes & Noble, I do spend time back in the kids section.
He just doesn't like to.
I just don't like to admit it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, let the world know. It's so cool. There's so much wisdom back there.
Yeah, really.
So Marianne the Maker came about because I had written a children's book to follow up Hello World, and it was about yet and someday and the power they had to change a sentence. So it was like, "I'm not tall enough to ride the Ferris wheel yet," or "someday I'll be able to have a sleepover."
Right.
But what the publisher's response was, it's a little flat, like the same thing seems to happen on every spread. That there's something the kid wants that they can't have or they can't do. And then you just add this word to it and it changes everything. And so it doesn't really have an arc. And when I got the feedback, I felt kind of embarrassed and disappointed. And Claire happened to be there. And she's my daughter who co-wrote the book with me. And she said, "What just happened? Like, what came through on your email?" And so I turned my laptop and said, "Read this." And I showed her the email. And she said, "Oh, show me the book." And so I showed her the pages that I wrote, and she said, oh, I have to say, I kind of agree with them. Like, I prefer a book with like an idiosyncratic protagonist on some journey where they're conquering some lesser part of their nature, and they have to learn a big, hard lesson. Mm. And she said, I also prefer children's books that rhyme. And at the time, she was a student at the University of Virginia.
Right.
And to make extra money, she babysat this kid like 10 hours a week. So she was actually reading a lot of children's books. And she said, sure. The ones that I reach for over and over always rhyme. So anyway, I said, you really sound like you know what you're talking about, Missy. Why don't you give it a quick? That's right. And her sister, Georgia, her older sister was there. And she's like, wait, Claire, stop. Mom, how much are you going to pay her?
I love it.
So then Claire had like an agent. And so she started with this story that we used to tell the girls when they were little, which was this super moralistic tale about not fibbing. Mm. So there was this girl who we named Mary Ann the Faker, who said that she was too sick to go play in her soccer game. And then it turned out her team didn't have enough players, and so they had to forfeit. And then she ran into all of the players when they were supposed to be on the field, and she had to apologize to each and every one of her teammates for lying. Oh. And that was the end of our story. So Claire picked up on Mary Ann the Faker and gave us the other half of it, which is to say, she showed us what Mary Ann wanted to be doing instead of soccer. Oh. And what she wanted to be doing was inventing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So in the process, this little story came about that kind of creates like a different identity or archetype for kids to lean into. So there's always the jocks and there's always the nerds, mm-hmm. but now there's the makers. You know, now we're putting a category in there that is contains like everybody from the theater kids to the orchestra kids to the go-kart and robotics kids.
Sure. Yeah.
Because yeah. it's all the same kind of mindset. Like that maker mindset says, I can deconstruct and reconstruct the world to my liking. It's super high agency, super high initiative way to go through life. And we wanted Mary Ann to remind parents that unstructured time mm-hmm. to tinker and iterate your way into some creation. It's really valuable, both for a kid's development, their cognitive development, but also for their well-being. Like it's a very well-known thing that engaging in any kind of creative project releases serotonin and dopamine and lowers cortisol.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a non-toxic way to trigger your internal pharmacy for a little bolus of the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it brings up something that I, you know, we talk about some here on strategies yes. and I worry about mm-hmm. With young parents today. Mm-hmm. And their kids
putting children in activity after activity busy, after busy. Activity.
Yeah, it's like it's like some parents can't stand for there to be downtime, if you will, mm-hmm. for their kids. And
I'm so empathetic to that. Like I feel like I fell prey to that too. Mm-hmm. You just get this funny feeling when you're, you know, sitting around at pickup and someone mentions that their kid's taking Mandarin and you're like, oh God, like should my kid be taking Mandarin? Or like someone's learning how to play the saxophone. Like, oh God, musical instrument. Yeah, maybe she should do that. So I think it's born of a really good thing, which is wanting to create as many on ramps to different passions that a kid might develop as you can.
Right.
But the net effect of it is that they are kind of scheduled morning, noon, and night. And that's not good for anyone. I mean, all of us actually could benefit from a little more unstructured time and a little more screen-free time. Like the other thing about a lot of creative work, from woodworking to painting to baking and gardening, is that they often involve your hands and they make your hands dirty, so you can't touch your devices. And I think that it's actually a very sneaky workaround to set your kid up with, you know, a papier-mâché project, just so that they have no way to touch their phone or their iPad or their laptop.
Mm-hmm. Sneaky, sneaky, do whatever you gotta do, right?
Right. And that monotasking is such a heavenly state, and it's so rare.
Absolutely.
I mean, it wasn't rare when we were growing up, but it's very rare now that people are not sort of doing multiple things at once. Like even just listening to a podcast and doing the dishes, which are both kind of low cognitive load activities. Sure. But if you're trying to get into that flow state, it's really better to not do anything but the one thing, mm-hmm. you know, to sand a joint, just sand the joint, to play a note, just play the note, to plant an impatient, just plant the plant.
Yeah.
I mean, because what that really teaches is the power of presence, of being in the present moment.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and that is really an endangered activity. I have it myself. I mean, I feel a huge difference in my ability to focus and monotask over the last, say, 10 or 15 years. I really do. I mean, it takes me so long to sink into a reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a way that it didn't before.
Yep.
We are talking to Kelly Corrigan today. She is our life strategist. She's a good one. We've got lots to learn from her. Mary Ann the Maker is her newest children's book. And we'll continue this important conversation with life strategist Kelly Corrigan today. Here on Strategies for Living. Be right back. Hey, let's talk about the Robinson Film Center. You know, I say it a lot. There's no place like the
Absolutely
Robinson.
Absolutely, there is not.
617 Texas Street, downtown Shreveport. You've got so much. You've got the movies. You got Abby Singer's Bistro on the second floor of RFC, open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday.
Newly remodeled.
Absolutely. Great menu. RobinsonFilmCenter.org is the way you check it all out. You can go to RobinsonFilmCenter.org at any time and find out what movies are showing. Here's the deal. You want to join the crowd, join the fun, become a member. When you become a member, you become a star. Mm-hmm. You get discounts on movies, you get concession upgrades, you get bistro deals. RFC, 617 Texas Street in downtown Shreveport. I'll say it again. There's no place like the Robinson.
There is not, and I'm glad we have one right here.
Absolutely. The Robinson Film Center.org.
Reading begins not in the classroom, but in your child's brain. I'm Donisa Walker with LearningRx Shreveport. If your child struggles to read, maybe he or she has trouble focusing or comprehending, LearningRx Shreveport offers a science solution to reading problems, working one-on-one with your child, targeting his or her reading skills. Today, call LearningRx Shreveport. Make an appointment to have your child assessed. I know you want to help your child. So does LearningRx Shreveport.
Facing the same old problems day to day makes you wanna holler, get away. Looking for the road that'll get me there. Looking for hope and peace to spare. Looking for strategies. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio.
I think I see one over there. Pick it up.
Oh, I can't let it get away,
yeah,
can I?
Don't let it get away. Hey, welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, with the author of Mary Ann the Maker, Kelly Corrigan, and her co-author is daughter Claire Corrigan Lichty. And you can find Mary Ann the Maker wherever you buy books. If you're going into a brick and mortar bookstore, and I encourage us all to do that. Go back to the kids section. That's where you're going to find Mary Ann the Maker, and I hope you will do that.
important read for all ages.
Absolutely. Kelly, you are no stranger to the airwaves. Yeah, you've been hanging out a lot. Tell us about your work on PBS.
Well, during the pandemic, I had done an essay, a video essay, kind of in the spirit of Andy Rooney, if you remember him.
Oh, very well. 60 Minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So I made a comment on the pandemic, and they showed it on the air during Judy Woodruff's NewsHour. Oh. And it was very popular. And so the guy who ran content for PBS at that time, his name was Perry Simon, said, you know, it's possible that she could like pitch a show with her doing long form interviews. And so the people who produced that segment called me and said, would you like to do it? And I said, sure, I'd love to try. And so we started this conversation about a 30-minute one-on-one long form conversation show with people who we felt were doing world positive things. So mm-hmm. It was super important to us to be counter-programming to most of the things that you see on news channels, which is people arguing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we wanted to inspire people by reminding them that also another thing that's happening in the world, in addition to all this arguing, is that people like Brian Stevenson and Jennifer Garner and Steve Kerr and Melinda Gates are out there doing good work. And so we started the show, and it's called Tell Me More, and you can watch every episode at pbs.org/Kelly. And we made 70 episodes. And so Fantastic. It was a really satisfying project, I must say. And the people we met were just incredible. I mean, the people in the world who don't give up, who keep trying to make things better, even as they're in the position to see like just how hard that is.
Yeah.
I just found them thrilling to be around.
Yeah. Yeah. And you also host a podcast called Kelly Corrigan Wonders, right?
I do. And it's played on some NPR stations like KQED and WJCT. It's played in Cincinnati and Maine. And but yes, it's also in any podcast feed that you want to go to. And that's also really an emphasis on positivity and well-being and exactly how to get those things in your life.
Mm. So you have some one-on-one, very intimate conversations with people, kind of a high EQ, IQ types, right?
Yeah. So we had probably my favorite one we've done so far is Bono.
Ooh.
Like what a world positive person he is. Like he's just added so many good things to the world in addition to his music, which would have been enough, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And so we had a super rich, interesting conversation with him.
And then you've got some bestsellers under your belt. Tell Me More and The Middle Place and Lift and Glitter and Glue. You're a busy lady.
Yeah. These are all books for adults, and they're all focused on some episode or period in my own life. So The Middle Place, my father and I both had cancer at the same time.
Wow.
So he was in his 70s, I was in my 30s, and the book toggles between my childhood and this one year where we were both in treatment. And then Glitter and Glue, I was a nanny for a family in Australia when I was 24. And the mom had just died. So there was a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old and this widower and even the woman's father lived there. So it was the story of nannying those kids and sort of coming to wonder much more about my mother than I ever had. Because at 24, I hadn't really turned my attention to her yet. But boy, when you're around people who would do anything for a mother, it sure makes you wonder about your own.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. What rich work you are putting into the world, mm-hmm. Kelly Corrigan.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing it.
I feel lucky. It's a good job. I kind of made it up as I went along, but don't I feel very lucky. Mm. Yes, yes.
You're quite the maker yourself in that way.
I am, and I really believe in it. And I'm actually also a huge amateur maker. Like, I make tons of things poorly. I paint a lot. I sew. Mm-hmm. I have built some furniture, like a bench and a bookshelf. I have tried making prints.
Yeah.
And I pretty much always have a 1,000-piece puzzle going on my table.
I love it.
So I really, great. I'm not a good cook, but I've tried lots of recipes, and I've tried some more complicated baking also, which did not turn out well. I have gardened off and on for decades, and I'm not much of a green thumb, but it doesn't matter. It still thrills me. And that's actually proven in the research that like expertise or achievement isn't a requirement for the sort of physiological benefits. Like your whole garden can turn brown and you will still have had the physiological benefits of increased serotonin and dopamine.
You've been in the soil.
You've been and you've had the experience.
Right. And you've allowed yourself to be messy and creative without judgment. You know, and I think that's so important.
Yes, everything is judged. Mm-hmm. Everything is judged, especially if you think about like in a kid's life.
Yep.
You know, it just like becomes about grades and what team you're on and did you make the travel squad and how many likes did you get on your post? And so it even sort of.
Even behaviorally, I think that's really neat now, knowing that kind of behind the scenes story that it was originally Marianne the Faker. And and you were able to take that different perspective. But how many times do parents see kids, you know, lying in that way and just assume, you know, bad intention when really Marianne's just, you know, she just wants to make.
She had good intention.
She had good intention.
Yeah.
She just wasn't, didn't feel understood.
One of the people that I talked to about the book was this woman, Denise Pope, who runs this. She's an educator of educators. So she's a education professor at Stanford.
Okay.
And she teaches teachers. And one of the things that she always says is that the one thing that kids don't lie about is the things that they love. Mm. So it's kind of her suggestion is to teachers and to parents, if your kids are always forgetting one of their cleats, or they're always running late, or they don't know where their uniform is, they don't care about it that much.
Right.
And you should try to read the room and find out what they do care about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because nothing feels better than actually being known by the people who love you.
Yeah.
Like to have your parents say, oh, she's a maker. Mm-hmm. You know, if Marianne's dad, who very innocently signed her up for soccer because he himself loved it.
Yeah.
If as soon as he sees her as the little inventor she is, there's this opportunity for closeness that didn't exist before.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, making, you know, can then become kind of a metaphor for agency or hope or identity.
Absolutely. So much in that, what you just said. I really believe that.
Yeah.
And the studies back up. I mean, we were kind of discussing this in a way last segment, but the studies show that unstructured and hands-on play is essential for developing resilience and adaptability. Mm-hmm. And man.
We could use that, couldn't we?
Well, and we can use it today. And I think, you know, again, I don't want to go down any negative roads here, but our world is getting more and more complex and complicated. And I think we all need the adaptive process, and we all need to, enhance our ability for resilience. And, that's kind
of
heart of the book.
We did this awesome project with Save the Children, where we sold 2,000 copies before Pub Day.
Oh, yeah?
Before the book was publicly available. And for every copy that we sold before publication day, Random House gave a copy to kids who probably don't own any of their own books through Save the Children. Because Save the Children has this awesome program. They've been doing it for more than 10 years. It's called HEART, H-E-A-R-T, Healing and Education Through the Arts. Ah. And it's really about building resilience through self-soothing in the way that you can do with the arts. And it's not just the arts, it's any kind of making. So I think people sometimes, you know, have this sense of like, I'm not a creative person because I don't paint and I don't sing and I don't play the flute. And it's like, right. But it's been too narrowly defined. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
If you've ever made up a game and played it in your backyard and iterated on what the rules should be and come up with different bonus rounds, like, that's making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all,
for the purposes of your well-being, that is making.
We all create. You cannot not create.
Yeah. We talk about that a lot.
I mean, if you've ever hosted a party and come up with like a little theme and then made the decorations kind of speak to that theme, that's making.
You're a maker.
If you're, yeah. And of course, you guys are makers. I mean, you're making a podcast. You're making a series. Yeah.
Thank you. Mary Ann the Maker. That's the book. Kelly Corrigan is the author, and she's our life strategist today here on Strategies for Living. We've got more. Stay right where you are. We'll be right back.
From the bayou to your table, we're keeping it alive. With flavors from the family, passed down to survive. The Godfather's here, with a twist in the tail. Alligator Italian sausage, and it sure won't fail. It's the boss of the bayou, a taste you can't refuse. Italian tradition, Cajun infused. Godfather sausage, bold and true.
Get the Godfather Alligator Italian Sausage only at Fertitta's Delicatessen, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport. Pick up a Muffy while you're there. The Godfather Alligator Italian Sausage. It's a taste you can't refuse. Sold only at Fertitta's, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport.
Dealing with stress? Pain? Feel like you're running out of options? When your life is balanced, wellness is a given. True wellness is holistic. It's about the mind, the body, and the spirit, all in balance. Now, there's a place right here in Shreveport that's all about helping us achieve peak mental, emotional, and physical health. The Balanced Life, 117 Kings Highway, right next door to Strawn's. Come see and feel the difference getting your life in balance can be. Many of your friends and neighbors have already learned the difference less stress and pain mean in their lives. You can book a discovery session right now online, thebalancedlife.us. All you've got to lose is stress, pain, or maybe both. Come see and feel for yourself the real difference balanced wellness makes. The Balanced Life Wellness Center, 117 Kings Highway in Shreveport, next door to Strawn's, thebalancedlife.us.
And welcome back. Welcome back in. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, with Kelly Corrigan, our life strategist today here on Strategies for Living. Mary Ann the Maker is her new children's book. She's written it with her daughter, Claire Corrigan Lichty. And it's illustrated by George Sweetland.
Oh,
tell me about George. Tell me about George, Kelly. What a great illustrator.
He is such a gem of a guy. He's so lovely. He's a first grade teacher. He wears a little cap all the time. He's nuts about his wife. He has these two little boys. They're adopted. They're nonstop. They're like climbing the walls and bouncing off sofas. And he's such a joyful, caring person. And so when we found him, when Random House found him and brought him to us, and then when the three of us, me and Claire and George, got together on the phone, he was so enthusiastic about Marianne and this funny, quirky thing about her, which is that she loves the 80s. She loves Ferris Bueller. She loves Dirty Dancing. She loves Breakfast Club. She loves Trolls.
I was going to say, I even saw a troll on the front cover.
So this kid is so funny. She named her dog Patrick Swayze. Like she's so all in. And George, like, he was like, this is, I have so much going through my mind. Like, this is the best sort of creative brief I could be given, because I too love the 80s.
Okay.
So then he went away. And then the other thing that we were telling him about Marianne is that to her, like, the whole world is just riddled with materials. Mm-hmm. Everything is part of some future potential project. Like, she can't stop herself. You know, if she saw like a button on the ground and an old piece of ribbon from a birthday party, and
I love,
you know,
that,
a lampshade that had been broken, like, she could imagine putting that all together in some way that would make like a robot head. You know, she just can't stop herself.
Yeah.
And he loved that.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, because really that kind of speaks to the finding the sacred in the mundane or in the everyday, that everything has something to it that can be useful or purposeful or made into
something.
Well,
this brings me to like my favorite fact that I have learned in the research behind Marianne.
Okay.
There's this book called Your Brain on Art, and it's by Susan Maxman and Ivy Ross. So Susan is a neuroscientist at Johns Hopkins. And Ivy is a big design lead at Google. And they got together and wrote this book in which they collected and explained all the research that has been done and validated and peer-reviewed and replicated around well-being and creative work. And the point that they made that I loved so much and I believe to my bones is that as effective as making is, so is beholding. And I believe that people who make are better at beholding. I think they're better at noticing in a detailed level, because part of it is that they've failed so much. Like, as I said, I've tried to bake a lot of complicated things. I tried to make a souffle and I couldn't do it. And therefore, when I eat a souffle, I'm eating it differently than the person who has not tried. And I'm noticing and I'm beholding the expertise and the achievement that is the souffle. And the same with sewing. Like, I just feel like everyone should try to sew a shirt because it's so hard to get it right.
So many
pieces.
I've always wanted to sew.
That's one of the last things I haven't attempted in my making process. I've done, you know, crocheting and painting and
I used to watch
things,
my mother. I used to watch my mother sew, and she sewed her dresses, and she would, you know, make things for herself and wear. And it was always I would sit there as a kid for, you know, a long period of time, and I was fascinated with it. And I don't know, of course, a different generation, you know, boys weren't supposed to do that. I mean, I have, you know, I guess it's nowadays it's okay.
Yeah,
but,
it better be.
Well, you know, when we were growing up, I went to public school K-12 and we had a home ec and shop class, orchestra and choir all in our day.
Wow.
So my parents didn't have to take me anywhere extra. And it didn't cost anything. It was just part of what it meant to be educated was to know how to work some tools in shop class, to know how to sew and cook. Like in home ec, everyone, boys and girls, made drawstring bags. And the only area of creativity was what fabric you chose and how large your drawstring bag was. So some of these funny boys made a drawstring bag that was big enough to stand in. And then some of these girls made a drawstring bag that you would just put a pair of earrings in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But the point was that we as a society indicated through budgets what we valued, and what we valued, what we thought an educated person was capable of, was not just reading and writing. It was that they should have some experience making music, that they should have some experience using certain kinds of tools and understanding how the things around them that they are dependent upon work, like electricity.
You know, we only have a couple of minutes left in this segment, but one of the things that I don't want us to miss is the fact that regular interaction with the arts is transformative. Of course, we've been talking about, and Marianne the Maker focuses on its transformative effect for kids, but that doesn't stop. It's the research says that people of any age will benefit from regular interaction with the arts. It's transformative.
And that could be, and that interaction could be merely, I use that word in quotes because I don't think it's a small thing at all, merely beholding. So just, and beholding can be, you know, then people think, oh, I don't want to go to an art museum. And it's like, you don't have to go to an art museum. No. Like your beholding could be listening carefully to one song. Like Claire and I, we were driving from one reading to another when we were sharing Marianne the Maker with kids. And we listened to this, the song came on that is a song we're both super familiar with. And we were basically like talking over each other to point out the parts of the song that we like the best. So I was like, I love these background singers. I can't get enough of them. Yeah. I love that instrument. I love it so much that I looked it up and it's called a vibraphone and it's such a great sound and I can't believe more bands don't use it. And she was like, I like how they changed the refrain in the last instance of it. And I like how they even changed, they changed the words, but they also changed the notes. And so we were very enthusiastically and specifically beholding this song that we both knew by heart.
I love it.
Yeah.
And
it was happening when we were doing it. We were feeling the feeling. I'm feeling the feelings right now talking about it.
Yeah. That's the power of it. Marianne the Maker. Maybe a way that you can tap into it, old and young. Kelly Corrigan, you'll find Marianne the Maker at your local bookseller. And if you're in a brick and mortar store, go back to the kids section. That's where you'll find it, and I hope you will. Kelly Corrigan, our life strategist today here on Strategies for Living. We'll be right back.
You're going to see the difference when you go to Azalea Cleaners. You'll hear about it, too. Azalea Cleaners has been fine dry cleaning since 1958, plus laundry, alterations and repairs, comforters, wedding gown cleaning and restoration. You'll hear about it from your friends because they'll see it, too. They'll notice the Azalea difference. Azalea is convenient. 732 Azalea Drive, 9220 Ellerby Road, and 9227 Mansfield Road. Plus, the front door of your home or business with Azalea's delivery on demand. Just text SETUP to 249-8283 and Azalea will pick up your clothes and deliver them back clean and fresh to you. You can't get closer than that. That's the Azalea difference. You'll notice it right away. Others will too. The Azalea difference. Fine dry cleaning since 1958. Text SETUP to 249-8283 and get the Azalea difference. AzaleaCleaners.com.
Hi, this is Jay Merle for Pintail Roofing. Let's talk about quality. When you hire Pintail to build your roof, here's what you can expect. Quality and quality control are the most important concerns for us at Pintail, and you need to know that Pintail stands tall with swift and professional performance on any warranty call. This is our most important policy. And remember, we're your neighbors. We'll be here for you for the long haul. Our family's lived here for over 100 years, and we aren't going anywhere. On the commercial side of Pintail's business, our fluid-applied roofing solutions can save thousands of dollars over conventional commercial roofing options. Call Pintail at 226-ROOF for a free inspection of your home or commercial building. That's 226-7663. Pintail Roofing. What's the condition of your roof?
And welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan, with the author of Marianne the Maker as our life strategist today. She is Kelly Corrigan. And Kelly, you know, my goodness, the places you have been and have taken us to today, you're going to have to come back. But what do you want to leave us with today? What final thought do you want to give us today?
I want to talk about the difference between engaged leisure and sedentary leisure. So sedentary leisure is watching television or scrolling on your phone. Mm-hmm. And engaged leisure is gardening or knitting or any other kind of low stakes, but still cognitively engaging activity. And engaged leisure is a feature of a well-rounded life and a life of productivity. Mm-hmm. So I think that everyone can feel this deep need for regular restoration. Like the batteries in us are wearing down and we need to plug into something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would just suggest that the thing to plug into is some kind of engaged leisure. Mm-hmm. And you can do it because in and of itself, it will feel good. Or you can do it because you know that when you I'm promising you that when you return to your work, you will be more focused.
Yep.
Absolutely. Kelly, thank you so much for being a great life strategist here on Strategies for Living.
Thank you for your work.
And hope you'll come back.
Loved it. Marianne, loved it. Thanks, you guys.
You bet. Marianne the Maker, Kelly Corrigan. Folks, thank you. We appreciate you listening, and we appreciate our sponsors making it possible. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing and Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage, and some pretty good Muffies, too. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call to make, who would you call? What would you say? Why are you waiting? Make the call. For Kelly Corrigan and for Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.